Hi guys, assalamu alaikum. It's me again, as usual. I am back to your speakers and your ears. I'm so sorry this week's episode is coming in late. Boy, do I have an episode for you today. Fatima Bala and I had an interesting conversation, and it's something so relatable. I hope you enjoy it. I'm you know what about if you've not read her books, should go and read it. I've read Broken, and when I say if you've not read that book, you are snoozing. That's just all I have to say. Anyway, I'm going to put in the description of this episode where you can get her books from, and yeah, you should get it. Okay, hi Fatima,
how's it going?
Fine, alhamdulillah. It's so good to have you here today, and I am looking forward to having, you know, a very insightful conversation with you today.
I'm very excited to be here. Thank you so much.
Okay, so Fatima, like from your experience, you know, like growing up in Arewa and just being an Arewa girl in general, how have you been able to, you know, state your boundaries, like to your family and friends, like in a way that, okay, it's not seen as kai wonantana ba kyan hali, or this one is this type of person? Like, how have you been able to be like, okay, guys, these are my boundaries and I don't want you crossing them?
To be honest, it's been a series of trial and error. It hasn't been easy. Kingani, because with the kind of disposition I have, very generous disposition, I don't like to say people pleasing, because that's a sort of comes across as there's something wrong with you. Like, mm-hmm. with the way we've been brought up, expectations from our society, the kind of family I come from, I generally avoid confrontation, like, at all costs. So it has taken a lot of, like, trial and error, finding myself in situations that make me feel so uncomfortable that I'm like, you know what? I never want to feel like this in my life again. And I'm talking about relationships and friendships and work scenarios, and even in my marriage, you know. So I think the way I've been able to set my boundaries, you know, to people around me is by limiting access to people that no longer deserve my time or my energy. Not allowing myself to be pressured into performative acts just to prove my affection to someone or my loyalty to a friend. Not indulging in conversation that makes me feel not so great about myself or lowers my vibrational frequency. And the hardest part is being able to walk away from unhealthy relationships or situations that just don't make me feel good in general. You know how sometimes you can have interaction with someone and you just feel less? You just don't feel good? Yeah, exactly. You feel drained. So yeah, I have trained myself over the past few years to just cut that kind of energy around me.
Yeah, and you know what, but honestly, like when you begin to understand the things that you don't like, it's easier for you to state your, like, okay, these are the boundaries that you should not cross. You know, when you're more comfortable in knowing that, okay, this is what you actually like, this is what you don't want. And like you said, limited access. Like, when people don't have access to you, like, how are they even going to cross your boundaries when you're not even giving them that face? You understand? Yeah. So it's so difficult for people to just say, oh, okay, we're going to, you know, do this to this particular person, when you don't even have access, you don't even have that access to me. Like, okay, so after, like, you know, limiting access and everything, like, what were the steps that you took, you know, to set up these boundaries? Like, okay, this is like the first step. Just, you know, just run us through the steps that you're able to take. Like, I'm not even just speaking about family and friends, I'm speaking your co-workers, you know, your relationships, even like before you got married, and also like now that you're married, like your boundaries with your kids, just in general, like how are you able to set these boundaries and, you know, just be firm about them?
That's such a great question. Before even setting the boundaries or even having that conversation with yourself before people, I think the first step, and I think we don't talk about this a lot, is there has to be a complete mind reset. You have to be at a point where you're very intentional about your actions and your reactions. And for me, I think whatever I think works for me is what I'm going to do. I'm at that point in my life right now. I've been on this journey now for a long time. And at first it was not easy. I felt like I was being selfish, and I felt like I was, you know, sort of not being the kind of person I'm expected to be. But at the end of the day, as long as it is in alignment with my health, my wellness, my peace of mind, and it puts me in a space to be a better version of myself to the people that matter to me. Mm-hmm. Boundaries just come without even hassle for me. So to answer your question, the way I've been able to set up my boundaries, it came, of course, through three things, self-awareness and situational awareness, honesty, a lot of honesty. And I feel like girls, we are not always very honest with ourselves, right? But if you're able to look at yourself in the mirror at the end of the day, your friends are not around, you know, your phone is plugged and it's charging and it's just you away from social media and, you know, all the things we put up, you're just able to have honest conversation with yourself. Like, is this what I want for myself? Is this the kind of person I am? And after that comes reflection. I think personally, those three things have been able to help me set up my boundaries.
Thank you. I think self-reflecting, Sha, for me, oh my God, these days I'm just so big on that, because I'm just like, you need to understand, like, be honest with yourself, like 100% be honest with yourself, because if you're not honest with yourself, then how do you even know what you want? How do you even know where to set up the boundaries? You know, like, how can you do these things and stay true? It's difficult, you know, when you're not setting up any boundaries, like you're not honest with yourself.
Exactly. That is so true. Like, you captured pretty much everything I was hinting at, but that is so true. Yeah.
Yeah, so like this is a very, very deep question. The next question I'm about to ask you. And honestly, Ma, when I was like typing this out, I was like, oh my God, before people would think I'm this perfect person, please. Please, I am not. But like, it's just like a major issue in our society. Like, I think it's, for me, I think one of the things that I struggle with, Bam, is like, it's so difficult sometimes to be in like a halal relationship in Northern Nigeria. And that's because in some circles, you understand, it's like you are the one that is doing something that is very odd. Like, for me, if I'm getting into a relationship with someone, I definitely tell you, okay, please come and meet my dad and tell my dad and everything. And there are some men that will be like, come and meet your dad and tell your dad, like, Meizafi, is it case where I'm taking, or, you know, it's so deep for them. Like, you know, for some men, it's like so deep. Like, why are you telling me to come and meet your dad? But like, okay, I'm trying to see if you're serious, number one. And number two, I'm trying to do things the halal way. And then, you know, in a society, like in our community where it's like you can shake, some people don't mind you shaking, like guys, you know, do you understand, like maybe your cousins and everything. I think it's even recently now that people are really hammering on the whole it's wrong, like it's haram, do you understand? But like, when it comes to, okay, it's wrong for me to touch the opposite sex, but if not recently, people didn't even know that pre-wedding pictures were haram, do you understand? Like, people didn't think it was wrong, and like, is something that is so normal. So like, how do you avoid falling into like a haram relationship and just being stern and like focusing, like, okay, this is what I don't want you, like, you know, just the blurry, like in your book. Like in your book, it's like, how do you stop yourself from like crossing these boundaries and just, you know, just staying true to yourself? Yeah, when everybody's doing it and it's so normal.
So normalized, right? I think especially because the way you said how like Ariel has sort of gone through this change in the past few years, where now I feel in a very good way, we are more more intentional about, you know, religion and how we portray ourselves as Muslims. But I remember how it was like when we were much younger. Like, I mean, prom date was like highlight of, you know, of your secondary school, like who's gonna ask you out for prom, and relationships were like normal, like you guys would play together, like there was like, you know, kind of like innocent touching, you know, where you guys are holding hands and hugs, goodbye hugs, etc. And now you can see that sort of, it's very clear, like people are frowning against things like even like people holding hands in pre-wedding pictures. But I think, and this is a hill I'm going to die on, I don't think it's like we've gotten any better. I think we've just gotten better at hiding it because of flashback. I'm just getting better at hiding it. And that's, you know, it's like in the book Broken, where, you know, you're okay with doing some things as long as the bag and neighbor, as long as nobody can see, you know, like
yeah.
So at the end of the day, it comes back to that whole conversation about having honest conversations with yourself about who your authentic self is, who you actually are. When people are not watching, because, you know, like Fatima Garbada, we know you are a brand, you come, you're expected to portray yourself a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. And then the way you are behind the doors, behind that your family don't even know. There are things about you that your family that they don't even know. Now, that is your authentic self. And mm-hmm. if you're able to bridge the gap between who you are as a brand and your authentic self, I think you're doing great for yourself. So to be honest, I don't think there's a set template, because relationships in a hypersexual world that we live in today, yet mm-hmm. a conservative society like ours, is very, very complex. And that's because the way we portray ourselves, our public selves, are very different from our private selves. And anyone who tells you, like, oh, me, I have nothing to hide, hey, I am, you know, I'm they are lying. I'm sorry, because there are people who are big on appearances and, you know, mm-hmm. family name, and, you know, how we don't want to embarrass the people that know us and the people that brought us up. So it's not just, you just can't be yourself. I remember even things like music on social mm-hmm. media. People who mm-hmm. listen to music regular on their house, in their houses, mm-hmm. in their cars, they will never post a clip with music because, oh, it's her. I'm like, but you listen to music. I know you listen to music. So, like, you know, so it's, I think, you know, because of how we're very complex, like, there's so many shades mm-hmm. to us as Arewa girls. And I feel like mm-hmm. that's something that other people don't really deal with in other parts of Nigeria. So it's very, and that's why when you get a group of people who understand and they get it, you know, those conversations mm-hmm. can go on for hours.
100%. Yes, of
course, everything is outlined for us in accordance to our religion, but it's easier said than done, right?
Yes. And
that's just an honest assessment of what I mm-hmm. see around me. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, and this is a direct lift from the sentiments that I write about in my books. Mm-hmm. You do need to create the boundaries in relationships, regardless. Mm-hmm. Because the thing is, as a girl, especially in an Arewa society, guys will really just go with whatever flow you're going with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, if she's okay with this, fine, yeah, we'll do it. You mm-hmm. know, like, if she's okay. Yeah, so if you're not communicating what is a hard pass for you, what is a strong boundary for you, you just one day wake up and realize that you're in a relationship and there are no boundaries at all. So if he really cares about you, he'll respect your boundaries. So when you communicate your expectations and you state your boundaries and he makes you feel bad about them, mm-hmm. if he deflects, and deflection is when, you know, I'm trying to tell you, like, hey, I really don't like it if, you know, you see my missed calls and you don't call me back. And instead of addressing that issue that you just brought up, he deflects by bringing another mm-hmm. issue that bothers him. Mm-hmm. Of course, his feelings are valid too, but that's not the time.
That's not the time.
Be able to be like, you should be able to let him know, like, yeah, okay, we're going to talk about, you know, what bothers you, but can we address this issue that I just brought up, right? And if he's mm-hmm. still going on and still trying to, then you understand that this is someone that does not respect you. If he shames you for it, maybe even if it's something as, okay, we're not going to say everyone is having a halal relationship, but you mm-hmm. are absolutely within your rights at any point in the relationship to say you want to have a halal relationship. Yeah. So if you're talking to your boyfriend about that and then he's telling you, yeah, but like, you know, you were okay with no, don't allow anyone guilt trip you. If mm-hmm. you are ready to make that huge step in your relationship, go for it. If you're asking for him to meet your father, don't make him make you, like, he shouldn't be telling you things like, I want you to meet mm-hmm. my father. And if you're not ready to make that move, then I know you're not serious about me, or you're talking to other girls as well. And you know what? That's okay. Because sometimes, ultimately, once you start setting up boundaries with people, mm-hmm. the other person at the other end of that equation mm-hmm. has the right to decline. What is a boundary for you? For someone else, it's a deal breaker, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Allow them go. And that's where, you know, it now comes to that whole thing of self, of you knowing that you can't betray yourself, of honoring yourself and telling yourself, you know what? Yeah, I should let this person go. It's going to be hard, but I have to let this person go because they don't respect me enough to respect my boundaries.
Yeah.
Another thing is when guys try to reset the relationship, and I think this happened to me, is when mm-hmm. he tried to bring up boundaries and mm-hmm. He tries to reset the relationship. Has that happened to you, where he sort of disappears? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now you're now second guessing yourself, like, oh my god, I think,
like,
I overdid it.
Why did I do that?
Exactly. Yes. And then he now comes back. Mm-hmm. After a few days of, you know, withdrawing, and then he comes mm-hmm. back with, like, love bombing. and it's like gifts and, you know, like affection. And because
I don't
you've
know why
been
they love to love bomb. Like, oh my.
I don't know. I mean, like, and you now, like, you're, oh, well, now that he's back, maybe I shouldn't do that again. And then she came, I'm gonna neyasharwa. And unfortunately, like, the more you allow that, it's just going to bring an imbalance of trust in that relationship, and eventually it will lead to resentments because your needs are not being met.
So for me, honestly, but I just feel like, bah, like always be selfish. Like when it comes to women now, but my advice will tell you that just be selfish, because there are some boundaries that if you set, like 100%, you will lose the person that you're seeing. And it's okay for them to go, honestly, because it's like they are used to this, and then the next minute you're not that anymore. And it's okay for them to go because you actually need someone that is going to be on that same frequency with you. Kumaki, you know, honestly, but if I'm being honest, like when it comes to Ariwa people, and you know, I think even in Islam they said if you're sinning, hide your sin. Like for me, I know that there are some things that if I do, I will never post it on social media. Say they, like, I don't even care if people are going to come and call me out and say, oh, but you're this on social media. I don't care. Like if I die today is like, let me carry my secret and die in my grave with it. You understand? Like, and you know the funny thing is that, but I have met like so many people from other cultures, but and they are just like, oh my god, like these Ariwa girls are so pretentious and everything. We naturally Munaido Kunya. So it's like, yes. So it's like there's so many things that people do, and it's like, ah, nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to know. So even if I'm advising like my younger siblings and my cousins about when it comes to like relationships, halal and haram, I just tell them, like, it's like, oh my God, it's such a very difficult conversation to have, because it's like, okay, are you going to be real with them and just like just be, have a realistic conversation, because you know that not everybody's in a halal relationship, or are you just going to like be this strict elder sister and, you know, like just tell them, oh, you know, it's haram, like end of story, it's haram. Because at the end of the day, some people will still choose to do it even if it's haram, you understand? So it's like you need to have your boundaries. Like you need to not allow anyone force you to do whatever, like something that you're not going to do. Because you know there are some people who come like to my DMs and we'll just talk, and you'll just be like, oh, okay, this guy did this, he did that, he left me at the end of the day, and I'm just having these regrets, like, you know, all those, like the circle. And I'm like, why are you having regrets? Did he force you to do it? It's like, no. I said, but it has already passed, so you need to forge ahead with your life. Like 100%, you need to forge ahead with your life, and you need to know that, is this how you want your lifestyle to be? And it's so important, because sometimes you actually don't want to live like this, but the men, like guys, will just keep, it's like you said, like the love bombing, the guilt tripping, like it's normal now. Like what's there, it's normal, you're my girl. And it's like, this is not even what you want. And you now start feeling like, oh my God, am I even going to, at the end of the day, all these men are the same. Everyone is doing this in their relationship. Am I going to get someone that is not going to do this with me in my relationship? And then you just stay. There's also that. Like, so I think Kumo in Ariwa, we need to start having the honest conversations. I think that's one of the reasons why I loved your book, because it was so real. Like the way she was so religious, and she was saying no, 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 no till, you understand? And it happens to so many late Ariwa girls, because before I went to university, I was so naive. I didn't know so many things. I'm not even going to lie. Like I didn't know so many things. And then when I went to university, I was like, ha. Is this what people are doing? Do you understand? And nobody has these conversations with you. No one prepares you, and you just go to university, and it's like, is this how? You understand? So it's like, okay, so are we going to have the difficult conversations? Are we going to be real with ourselves? Do you understand? Like, not obviously not putting our deen, like not compromising our deen, but we need to be honest with ourselves. Like we need to be honest with ourselves. And it's so, because if you're writing like a book about like Ariwa people and like, oh my God, the relationship is just so halal and it's just so, like, yeah, but like, is it everybody that does that? Do you understand?
I think you know, the point you made up about how, you know, sometimes older sisters or older cousins, they are not really very mm-hmm. honest in having these conversations.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
They have done a great disservice, because mm-hmm. imagine the kind of wealth of information that would exist for girls to take, as, you know, in their toolkit in terms of relationships if people were actually being honest. If people are, because sometimes things happen, especially, okay, it's like your first year in university and, you know, you're just for the first time seeing all these things and, you know, there's all this attention from the opposite sex and you really don't know, like, you know, how to navigate it. But no one has really told you, everyone has told you, like, you know, yeah, no, don't do this or never do that. So now that you have, especially, you know, it's someone that you like, like in the case of Faiza and Ahmed, it's very, it's, of course, it's very easy to be in a halal relationship when you don't really care much for the person.
Honestly, no, when you are being honest,
exactly. But when you like the person and you're attracted to the person, it's a completely different ballgame. And now, you know, add things like, okay, other people are doing it. And then we're watching all the shows and movies and, you know, there's, like, love is such a
beautiful thing. And then when you now have friends and, that are, like, maybe friends that are already exposed stuff like this, it's so easy for you to just,
so
you know, what's there.
For you to just, it's so easy for you to just, you know, be like, yeah, it's really not a big deal. Everyone is doing it. And, you know, when it even gets trickier, when it's not even just a relationship for any of you, for you or him, it's like, oh, I want to spend my life with this person.
Yeah, so you're like, ah, I was... What's left?
You have to marry,
and then when you love the person, and, you know the person loves you back,
right?
It just becomes and in more your mind, difficult.
Like, it becomes more difficult in your mind. Everything makes sense. You're like, but, you know, we're still going to be together at the end of the day. You don't know that. You don't know what's going to change.
You really don't know.
Exactly. So a lot of like the what's that saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. No one ever starts saying, "Oh, I'm going to hell." No. It's always no, because they have good intentions. I'm going to marry him. He's going to be my husband at the end of the day. So like you know, and it starts from the little things. But honestly, I feel like we need to have these conversations. We need to open the avenue for these kind of conversations. I swear to God, since I wrote Broken, the kind of messages I get has pretty much just solidified my intention to just keep writing these honest stories, because I'm like, you know what? People need these. Like, even like the whole like setting of boundaries or telling a guy what you don't want to do in a relationship. It seems, do you realize that sometimes in Ariwa, guys have the audacity to actually feel entitled to like a kiss,
because it's like are you not my girl? It's like, I'm not your wife though.
No, exactly. And it's like sometimes when I'm listening to like conversations, you know, like with my little cousins, and I'm like, yeah, no, you shouldn't, or you know, apologizing to a guy because you didn't give him what you want, like but that's so normalized, like it's okay.
And you know,
have
the funny thing is that the highest thing these men can do is leave.
Exactly. And sometimes it's even a blessing to you. It's even a blessing to you, you know, but I feel like we can't have this conversation again without talking about the other side, the amount of importance we attach to relationships, so much so that girls feel like allowing a guy to leave is something coming in. That's what you're saying. You know, like,
they don't get other people.
Exactly. There's that illusion of scarcity. Kingani, I remember in one of my books, there's this part where like a cheating boyfriend proposes to the girl. And the sentiment around that was, people will always tell you, like, now that he's proposed, he's serious, Kena.
Yeah.
No, he's still the same cheat from last week.
I don't know why people keep saying that. Yeah, so they're going to already to be serious.
But he's still the same guy from last week. That was exactly. Oh. Is he? But no, society expects you that now that he has chosen you as the one he wants to marry, to sort of forgive
then
everything.
That's all.
And you think really in 3 months when you guys get married, he's actually going to change? Really?
Once
you think
cheater.
So?
Once a cheater.
Exactly. Exactly. So if we don't actually include stories in our literature where girls who leave such relationships thrive, people won't think it's okay to leave. People
100%.
Won't think it's okay to leave. Yeah, if we don't talk about relationships that talk about a girl engaging in premarital sex and how it affects her mental health, people are not going to be honest about relationships. And
honestly, like people need to just, you know, honestly, for me, as far as I'll keep saying is, do anything that you're not comfortable with, well, like, don't do it. Don't make anybody make you do anything.
Exactly.
And if you've done it, but don't regret, just learn from it.
Take it as a lesson.
Because there's some people that, some people just like go through so much regret. Like, it's like, oh God, I regret.
I know.
Just
and regret
it and everything.
It stops them from like moving on or doing something better with their life, or even it starts to make them settle for less. You know the stories about girls who are no longer virgins, and so they feel like they just marry any sha-sha-sha that comes their way.
That's,
because they don't deserve.
Honestly, like, I'm like, okay, wow. So it's the audacity of the men.
Yeah,
because most of them are not even like they don't keep themselves till marriage, but they expect you
of
to do that.
Not.
And
that's not. Yeah,
honestly, so this conversation, like, it needs to be like hard, like Please just be
Definitely,
honest.
definitely. We have to be very honest, especially with our sisters. Like when you see, like, you know, that 17-year-old girl in your family, like, honestly, pull her close to you and actually just talk to her and be very honest with your own experiences. I feel like that's the way you can help her not make some kind of decision that's just going to, like, turn her right, her life, when even, you know, or sometimes you know when you see, like, girls with guys and you're just like, of all the guys toasting you, why this one? You know, I feel like you never really voice it out because, you know, I didn't know any or that kind of thing. Like, honestly, just talk to them. Like, really, you don't think you deserve better? Like, this guy that talks to you this way is who you are, you know? The guy that every time you guys have a fight is the guy you always don't apologize. And, like, is this how you want to spend the rest of your own life? Like, you know, have that conversations with them. Like, you know, let them know, like, quite options. Because sometimes our worldview is so limited that we can only see what's in front of us. Yeah. Like, you know, Nikina Magana, the only sorry in Kina 100 level, 200 level. My mommy Jinkima is not even in that university.
Honestly.
Like, you finished dating someone for years and maybe he's not even yours.
That's another thing.
And you know, honestly, I'm diverting a bit, but like, this is like another problem that, like, most people have. You go through all these relationships and then you see there's a lot of, like, ladies that have not moved on. Like, it's like, ugh, you still love that person. And it's like, it's really sad, honestly. It's really sad.
Yeah, and that's also because we don't allow ourselves to talk honestly about what bothers us.
Yeah.
Kingani, like, it's a big thing when you break up with a guy for you to bounce back immediately.
Yeah.
For me to start posting social pictures on social media to show that I'm doing fine, I'm doing better. We don't even allow ourselves grief, honestly, to actually go through that loss.
And heal. And
exactly. And healing is seen as, you know, something weak. But unfortunately, you do need that process to be for your mental health.
She says sometimes it was a toxic relationship.
Yes, like, even friendships. We don't even want friendships nowadays because we're trying to show, like, who is she? I have others better than her. But no, if it's a relationship, if it's a friendship, and, you know, it's over for some reason, like, it's gotten to a stage where it doesn't serve any of you and you guys have made that decision to move on, or even if it's not mutual, even if it's like a messy breakup, you do need to grieve, you do need to heal. But nowadays we're all trying to show that, you know, I'm not. I'm not that person. I'm better than that, or I can do better. Unfortunately, that conversation, of course, stems back to, like, mental health and therapy, and that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, another conversation for another day, honestly. But, like, at the end of the day, just don't do whatever it is that you don't want to do. Like, create those boundaries and,
honoring yourself, whatever makes you feel like, whatever feels like self-betrayal, like,
like,
that's your body,
be.
That's your mind, that's your heart telling you that you shouldn't be in that situation in the first place.
Okay, so, like, how important do you think it is to, you know, like, speak about boundaries and expectations in a relationship? And is this something you would recommend?
Personally, and I like to say personally because I would only say what has worked for me, and I know very well that what works for you, Fatima, would necessarily work for me, right? But it is my understanding that patterns are established very, very early in relationships by the way you allow yourself to be treated, especially when you've not had that conversation. If eventually down the road, like now 6 weeks into the relationship, you're now trying to set up boundaries, it will feel like, you know, you're trying to switch up. So I feel like it's very important. And I don't think when we say boundaries, a lot of people think it's, oh, I don't want to do this. We can't do this. You cannot do this. No.
Don't cross this line.
It's not really like that. I feel like boundaries sometimes, it's really about you as a person, not even the other person. Kingani, so when you're talking about boundaries, it's about you, you know, again, recalling back to, you know, how we started this conversation about, you know, your authentic self, who you want to be, the kind of person you are, and figuring the box, you know, you sort of reside in. And then now it's letting people know that this is what I'm about. If you're in a relationship with a person, this is what I'm about. Like, okay, you can't call me at this time. You know, because I do this, I'm working, etc. Or, yeah, we can't do this, like, conversations with your exes, or you going out with your ex, it makes me very insecure, and I really don't. Like, you know now how sometimes they make insecurity feel like it's a sin?
It's a bad thing.
Yeah, like, for you to say, oh, I'm insecure about this, so for some reason it's like a red flag. No, like, that's me being vulnerable and honest with someone that I think I'm in a relationship with. I shouldn't be afraid to say I'm insecure about something. If it's your ex, if it's, you know, something you do, or, you know, spaces you put put yourself in, I should be able to say, I don't like that. And if you love me enough, we should be able to have that conversation where it's like, okay, is there a reason why? It's not just like I'm expecting to say, oh, I don't like that. And you're like, okay, she can. Like, I don't want to date a guy that's like a robot, like a yes man.
Yeah.
I want a guy who, more important than respecting my boundaries, is trying to understand me and why I'm that way. So it's like, okay, so I don't understand, like, how is my ex an issue for you in this? Like, it's not like I would ever cheat on you. And it's like, okay, maybe I've been cheated on in the past, and that's why I feel that kind of way. And, you know, you're able to have back and forth conversations, and sometimes it takes days before you finally, you know, get to middle ground. So personally, I think that, you know, you do have to have this kind of conversations. And also, when you start having conversations about boundary, Fatima, you need to understand that not everybody is responsible to follow your boundaries. Some people are not even equipped to follow your boundaries, maybe because of how they are or how they're raised, their own worldview. They just don't have it in them to sort of, you know, respect those boundaries. It could be like, you know, you're trying to have a halal relationship. It could be even in friendships when you're like, okay, you know how you guys could have like a friend, or your friend could have a friend that's not your friend, and then she discusses that. She discusses you with that person. And you're trying to enforce that boundary. Like, hey, I'm not going to say, you know, you can't be friends with who, you know, who you want to be friends with. But Magana and I, they care, she gets like, ban her to say anything going on with me. And I mean, if that person actually loves you and is your friend, the person will understand and be like, oh, yeah. No, fair enough. Like, giving an example, I won't bring it up. But now when they now start to turn it around on you and be like, what do you mean? Like, I can't talk to my friend. Who are you to dictate what I discuss? You know, then you know that this person doesn't have your best interest at heart. And it's very okay. You should love yourself enough to let people that don't respect you go. You should love yourself enough to be able to let people go when they don't respect you enough to engage with you the way that you asked to be engaged with. And it's so much easier than done. I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, just forget about them. Of course, it's going to hurt. This is someone that's in your life. You probably want them, you know, for the long term. And unfortunately, now that you're talking about boundaries, you've seen that it's not going to work out. It's painful. But you need to understand that, you know, in the long run, it's going to serve you better. And in the beginning, it's actually very easy because you keep on losing people. When you start having that conversation about boundaries, you will lose friends. You will lose relationships. But eventually, you find that years later, you're surrounded by the people, by your own people, by your tribe, by people that understand you. And then you realize that the work you've been doing eventually paid off.
And when you set up your boundaries, you will lose people. Like, definitely, there's no two ways about it. But like you said, just know yourself and love yourself enough for you to leave. And the same way you're stating your own boundaries to other people, you should also be ready to respect their own boundaries. You should also be ready to listen to what they have to say. And you guys should just find a common ground. I think, like you said, it's going to take time. Like, go on at a nice point. Because, like, I just remembered someone was speaking the other day, and he was saying that, like, most marriages don't work according to him, because he feels like the men won't even tell you what they expect from you and what lines they don't want you to cross. And they just allow you to do things on autopilot. And it's like, when you now start offending, it's like, oh, you're not doing a good job, you're doing this, you're doing that. But like, I didn't know, you didn't tell me. How am I supposed to know that this is what works for you and this is not what works for you? And as you're setting your own boundaries, you should also ask them, like, what are your own boundaries too, so that I don't cross them, and let me see if it works for me and if it's something that I can, you know, deal with.
Those are the kind of honest conversations we should be having in relationships, right? Especially
in a
relationship. Yeah, we're trying to have a, you know, a marriage in the future. So these are the kind of conversations we should be having. Not really, oh, what's your favorite color? And, you know,
And
you know, the funny thing is that for some guys, but like the deep questions and the deep conversations, that they're like, like, why are you asking all these things? But ask. like I just said now, I said, you know, like, you should also be able to, like, respect other people's boundaries go. So it just, like, begs the question, like, how can we in Ariwa do better when it comes to, like, you know, not crossing people's boundaries, just staying off people's lanes and respecting people? There are some things that Bamase and Faramakaba, like, they don't need to tell you, you understand? But, like, how can we as a community do better, you know, when it comes to this?
Yeah, can we I feel like we're getting better. We're not quite there yet. We have a long way to go for sure. And it's not just an Ariwa thing. I think it's in most community-based societies, you know, especially like with the role of women and how, you know, they would always say they have good intentions, and so they feel like they can ask you any question. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter how uncomfortable it feel, it makes you feel. But Kinsani, I'm at the point in my life right now where I feel like I would call people out. Like, if you make me feel uncomfortable with your question, I would definitely call you out and redirect that question. Because I, Baduka, as I can remember, like, I'm at the age of, I'm woman enough to, you know, talk back to you and be like, no, that's not an appropriate question. You probably shouldn't ask me, it's none of your business. You know, but we have this thing where, you know, it's like, oh, even when it's relationship, people feel like they have a say in who you're dating or how you're dating. And even when it comes to marriage, like, no, it's none of anybody's business. And honestly, because we're such a conservative culture and there's a lot of respect and high, and, you know, even the way we treat people who are even older than us, even by months, it gives people the audacity to just carry on. Exactly. And no, you don't need that negative energy in your life. Call people out respectfully. You said there's a way someone will talk to you respectfully. In your mind, you know it's not respectful, but because now they have cloaked it in respect, you really don't have a ground. Like, you can't fight them. Honestly, respectfully call people out at all. Like, don't even allow. I feel like we've allowed it for so long that it's now a thing that someone will see you and the first greeting they will tell you, how is that?
Honestly,
where's your salam? Ina salam alaikum. Why is the first interaction I will have with you after a few months of not seeing each other based on my appearance? So we do have to start calling people out on that. As soon as she tells you that, and you know, you respond with grace, but you put her in her place, she'll know next time not to do that to you.
Next time. So you have to, like, put people in their place immediately.
You do need to. Unfortunately, Danny, I get you. You know, just treat them with kindness. I know, just let it go. Oh, we've been letting it go now for decades, and it's not changing.
When they go low, you go to the underground.
I'm sorry, you go underground. You go 6 feet. You said, and I had to hide. It's not an easy lesson to learn, and for me, it's one of the hardest lessons that I have learned, especially given my disposition, where, you know, I'm very passive. I don't want to, you know, do confrontations. To me, like, I would have, it gives me anxiety, you know, when I have to have conversation, difficult.
Like, you would rather die than, like, confront someone.
Exactly. And that has changed now over the years, because I'm like, you know what? No, I can't keep betraying myself. I can't keep dishonoring myself. So, but something, again, I noticed, and something I've learned in doing this work to be the, you know, better version of myself, is that a lot of relationship issues, a lot of the way we talk to people or our triggers, they're usually childhood issues in disguise, right? So someone could talk to you about your weight and you wouldn't care, but the same comment could be made to me, and for me, it's like a reason to have that meltdown. And it's probably because, okay, I need a pack of chicken and it's something for me. Or even something like attachment styles. There are girls who, you know, their boyfriend doesn't call them the whole day, and they don't mind picking up the phone and be like, hey, I didn't hear from you, how far? You know, but for another girl, it's like a red flag. She's like, oh my god, I feel like, what's going on? She's creating all the scenarios, and it's probably because of abandonment issues from her own childhood. So we need to be kinder and treat people with more grace, because you're thinking it's not an issue, but somebody else, it's like, it's such a deep issue. So again, one template doesn't serve everybody. We need to understand people for who they are. And even in relationships, you can't take lessons from other, of course, lessons in other relationships, and, you know, apply them in your current relationship, but you can't expect, oh, because my ex-boyfriend was okay with this, your husband should be okay with that. Kingani? It's like you're constantly learning about that person for who they are, with their own baggage, their own expectations, and it could be completely different from what you're used to. Like, in the case of Faiza was the kind of people she was surrounded with, like, a halal relationship was a no-brainer. But what about Ahmed? Even though they come from the same society, he's like, probably the last time he was in a halal relationship, he was a teenager. So for him now to meet this girl and, you know, be so in love with her, and she's like, oh, we can't do this. Like, for him, it was like, the heck? Like,
but like, you could see that he was still trying regardless.
He was still trying, exactly. And that's because the only reason I put him that way was because I needed to model good behavior. Because sometimes I feel like men don't even know what girls need or expect. You know? So I needed a man who loved her enough to respect those boundaries. I mean, it didn't end well eventually, but, you know, he tried. Yes. But eventually he tried. So I feel like, you know, when it comes to it all comes back to, you know, you asking yourself who you are, you know, as a person, as a Muslim, as an Arewa girl, what kind of woman do I want to be? What kind of lover do I want to be? What kind of friend, co-worker, you know, do I want to be? You have to remove all the technicalities and the expectations of of family, of society, of people, and actually just ask yourself, who do I want to be? What do I want to be? You know, what kind of statement am I trying to leave in this life? Kingani, and once you start having those difficult conversations with yourself and you've been very honest about who you are, who your authentic self is, it's easier for you to communicate those expectations. And at that point, you're not going to take any take backs. Because one thing about me is that once someone shows me who they are, I take their word for it. I believe them. And if it's something that I can't compromise on, it's a hard boundary for me. I move on, I cut my losses, and I keep it moving. But I don't make I don't make excuses for people. I never make excuses. Once someone has shown me that, you know, she hakiki, he is the kind of person who, you know, Magana and as he would talk maybe to a friend about like something that's personal or private, zika, you know, to somebody else. That's it. Once you've done that to me once, me and confiding in you ever again. Never.
You know, the like, funny thing is that you know those type of people when they are also bringing other people's gist to you.
Yeah,
and that's how you know not to trust them.
Exactly, that's how you know not to trust them. When people show you who they are, honestly, don't make excuses. Just believe it and take it. Just keep it moving. To answer your, we can sort of digress.
Answer your question.
How can we do better in Arewa when it comes to crossing boundaries? My own take might be controversial, but honestly, I stand by it. Start calling people out.
Thank you. Like, this is the last question, so I'm just going to ask you, like, before we close, Fatima, what is one misunderstood thing about you?
One misunderstood thing about me.
Yeah,
I'm thinking about that a lot, and I'm like, I don't know if you have sort of picked this, you know, from this conversation, but over the years, I have had to grow tough skin, and I'm at this point in my life where literally your opinion on me, I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't put food on my table. It doesn't fatten my bank account. It doesn't make my skin glow. Your opinion on me, I really don't care. And it's either that or maybe I've just surrounded myself by people who, you know, I'm at a point, which is when I was talking about boundaries and how, you know, you would lose people in the beginning, but eventually you're surrounded by your tribe. I'm at a point where, you know,
that you actually,
exactly,
you know,
the people who matter to me,
the space you're in.
Exactly. Those people, like, I constantly get feedback from them. Not even in the sense of feedback. It's just like, you know, when I'm, you know, they hold me accountable. Exactly. They hold me accountable. And so I know when I'm doing something that's out of character or inauthentic to myself, they would hold me accountable. Like, well, you said you were going to do this. You had this milestone for yourself and, you know, I don't see you walking towards it. So like, what? So those kind of people, I get, you know, constant feedback from them. I'm very self-aware. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm surrounded by so much of that I really don't care what other people that are not within that circle sort of think about me. And again, maybe it's because I have just recently put myself out in the public space because of the books that I published. But I've never really had an interaction in my DMs where someone is like, oh, when I first saw you, I thought you were like this, but you're like this.
I've never
had that interaction again, like, you know, in such a long time. Maybe when I was a teenager, yes, and that's because I wasn't my authentic self. But now I hardly ever had those conversations, and I guess that's just because, honestly, what you see is what you get.
Thank you
so much, Fatima. I'm so glad we had this conversation. Honestly, like, I know so many people will learn from it. Like 100%. So many Arewa girls are going to relate to this.
I really hope so. I honestly hope so. Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. And I truly, truly love your podcast.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be on this episode. It means a lot to me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So I didn't forget. You guys know that last week we had... And our last episode with Hannah was about, you know, body shaming and all its brothers and, you know, body insecurities, self-love. It was such an amazing episode. If you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen to that episode. And I asked you guys on Instagram, like, what is the weirdest body comment that you've ever received? And I got quite a lot of replies. So I'm going to be reading some of the replies before we get into today's episode. So someone responded and said, "There's no difference between the black cap you are wearing and your skin." Wow. I think we underestimate how much colorism we have in Nigeria. Someone was told, "You look like a breastfeeding mother because you're so busty." I don't even know. Like, it's like you can never win. Because for those of us that are not busty, sometimes they be throwing us jabs too. Someone said, "You're so thin. You look like a sickle cell patient." And that time I was battling with my health. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry they told you that. And like, what's this stupid perception that almost all sickle cell patients are skinny? Yeah, it's not really the case. And like, that stereotype has to stop. And I'm so sorry that someone told you that. They said, "How does your husband feel about your body? Because I used to be small." Oh my god, this just shows us how much body shaming, like, regardless of what your size is, if they are going to body shame you, they will. Then, "You look like knickers." What? What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Someone was told by her primary school teacher that she's the devil because she was too dark. That's so insensitive. Like, how does she even know what the devil looks like? You know, the funny thing is that some people say things to us, but and like, now that we've grown older, it's like we have so much response, and if we could go back, we'll have the biggest comeback, you know. Someone was told, "You have black lips, do you smoke?" These are like common stereotypes that people get. I know someone that like had always had black lips, and because of how he was told, "Do you smoke? Do you smoke? Do you smoke?" he started smoking, which is crazy. "Why are you so fat? Look how shapeless you look. Omo, human beings can never be satisfied." They, wallahi, 100%, like, human beings can never be satisfied. She said, "My tummy is competing with my butt, and my butt is winning effortlessly. Little does she know that I have three large masses of fibroid." You know, people like this, but sometimes when they just kill their body and their spirit, as in Hausa, kashemu sejiki. Like, next time someone tells you that, just tell them, yeah, like, if you're comfortable sharing, like, what's wrong with you, say, "Yes, this is why." And then watch how quiet they go. It's so high. Well, like, when they say be nice to people because you don't know, like, what they are battling secretly, it's no joke. Someone said, "I had makeup on and my friend teased me and said I look like a monkey." Yeah, you know, some people, but there's like so much undertone and hate in their like subtle jokes. So you should actually like look at those signs. This is not a good friend. How can you like think you look so beautiful and you actually like look beautiful, and then your friend tells you you look like a monkey? I would take that very, very serious. I'm not even going to play. She complimented me. Someone complimented me and the other person started laughing. Ugh, these are the type of people you're supposed to be cutting off, like, chip, chip, chip. Someone said she has been told she's too fat and she's not beautiful. I don't think your weight has anything to do with your beauty. As far as you're healthy, my sister, like, embrace your body. "It won't look good on you because you're too thin for that dress. You don't have the shape and body for that dress as a girl." Now, wow. Someone said, "The person said I look 25. I'm so curious to know how old you are." Because, like, but if you look 25, I don't know, maybe I'll be sentimental, but like, if you look 25, are you old? Because she literally sent the question in with a crying emoji. Someone said she was told your forehead is flat like an ironing board. Ah. Now, wow, all of us that have foreheads. Wow. They said, "You look beautiful now that you've lost weight. Say hanchinki efito." You know, those insults that are insults, but like, they are not insulting you. Even now it's a compliment. So what do you mean? Like, before I was ugly? Someone said, "There's this lady that always comes to our house, and each day she comes, she keeps, you know, just insulting." I don't know how to read Hausa very well, but she said, "Kyeche miki anai Masukiba ana 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 wa chimiso ana ya yin maskiba." wannan wani irin kiba ne ga tumbi kin aje gara kije kin rage dan maza. She said, I hate it when she comes. God, I hate aunties that pass stupid comments. Like me, I'll just go to my room, especially if I can't respond to you because my mom will say I'm rude. I would literally just go to my room and just like greet you sama-sama. Like, no, honey. And then I'll just go. And then I'm just going to close this with a comment that someone passed. And it's just so true. She said, she said, like people mock him. People are mocking Allah's creations. And she said the question I asked alone has triggered a lot of painful memories that she doesn't want to remember. And like that's so deep. I think we need to take our time as a people to watch what we say. It's so difficult, honestly. Like you think everything, you're entitled to comment on everything, especially the older generation. I think it's like it's like literally what can you do, because like that's how they just think it's okay. So but I think us, like our generation, we need to do better. Watch what you say to people, be kinder to people. Because you never ever, number one, like first put it at the back of your mind that why are you mocking God's creation? That's number one. Number two, you never know what someone is battling with, so just keep quiet. Maybe that person is trying to lose weight, maybe the person has PCOS, like someone said she had fibroid. Who you never ever know. Just please, let's be kinder to one another. And I feel like I've been talking for a very long time. Anyway, you guys, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. And please don't forget to follow Never Fully Understood on Instagram. Like our shows on whatever platform you're listening to this on. And I've already started uploading some of the episodes on YouTube. So if you don't have access to any of this, like if you know someone that wants to listen and doesn't have access to any of our podcast channels, you can share my our YouTube channel. That's my YouTube channel, but like I have a podcast section. I have a podcast section on my YouTube channel that people can listen to the podcast on. It's audio. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode, and yeah, bye.